when I went to the doctor and asked him if it was okay if I got no fever on Saturday, if I could celebrate masses on Sunday, he says, would it be okay if I wrote you a note that said you didn't have to go? He said, I'm the pastor. I'm the one you would write the note to. But if you've been decorating your Jesse tree with these symbols or images of the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament in the birth of the child Jesus, your tree's pretty full by now. You've had the ornaments of the apple tree that stands for the first sin of Adam and Eve, the ark, which was God's first rescue plan of Noah, a field of stars that stands for the descendants that God promised Abraham that would be as numerous as the stars. There would be other symbols like the ram that was given by God in the place of the sacrifice of Isaac. There would be the ladder of Jacob as he struggled with God. There would be that coat of many colors that was given to Joseph, who was also a savior of his own family. There'd be other images like the burning bush, the tablet of the law, the horn that was the ram's horn that blew as the people of Israel marched and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And then ultimately, there would be also be the stump of Jesse, the crown of David, and the Christ child himself. Last week I mentioned in my homily that if you've decorated your Jesse tree with these ornaments, these symbols and images of the Old Testament, so we can help to understand how we're to prepare for the coming of Jesus in the New Testament, that tree is also garlanded with the figures of Isaiah and John the Baptist. But any good tree has to have a topper. And the topper is who we get today in the reading today, and it's the Blessed Virgin Mary. But how do we react to this decorated Jesse tree? How God has prepared us for the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the new of the birth of our King. Well, I think it has to do, who do we sit with spiritually? Do we sit with Ahaz or do we sit with Joseph? Because they're confronted with similar things but different reactions. Ahaz in this reading today from the first reading is a young king. He's beset by problems he doesn't know how to handle. He's the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and all of a sudden the northern kingdom, which was at the time more powerful, had allied itself with the Assyrians, and they were looking to march on Judah, and Ahaz doesn't know what to do. Notice what he doesn't do at all. He doesn't ask God for help. But God, through the prophet Isaiah, offers him help. And Isaiah says, ask for a sign. And kind of in this false humility, he says, no, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Why wouldn't he ask for a sign? Because I think that Ahaz was too concentrated on the facts that he thought he knew them. And he was so confused and so confounded that if God entered into the picture, it would mean that he'd have to change. Change is not fun. And so he may be too scared to change, too fearful that God wouldn't change. I think that also there's a tendency in ourselves to think of God like this, that God is in some far-off, distant place, and we have to get ourselves together. We have to get his attention so that he will give us the help that we need. And that's a real temptation of people, of how they view God. But that is not the God of the Bible. Notice what has happening is God is coming to Isaiah and he's trying to convince him, allow me to help. And he wants to help in ways that were beyond Ahaz's ability to dream. Well, what about Joseph? And what about, for that matter, for Mary? What's the difference with them? You know, Joseph is very confused as well. You know, for all the facts that he had at his hand, it looks like that somebody who he loved, somebody who was already his wife but not yet entered into his home, had betrayed him. But he was confused because he knew Mary also to be a virtuous woman. He didn't know how to put these two things together. And by the way, the devil wants to encourage that confusion. If you get a chance, if you're not going out this way, if you go out the far side of our parish hall, there's an icon of the Nativity. It has Mary in the center, and it has, in the lower left-hand corner, it has Joseph. And he's being confronted by this old man in animal skins who seems to be berating him. That's an ancient icon of the devil tempting St. Joseph. And he was tempting him, saying, you know, don't believe what Mary's told you. But how did Joseph respond and Ahaz not? It's because Joseph was a man of prayer. We don't know much about St. Joseph from the gospel, but we do know this, because he is a man of prayer, a man of faithful prayer. What does prayer have to do with this? Well, prayer has to do with it in this way, that prayer opens us up to hearing what God wants to do for us. You know, we have a God who doesn't have to be convinced to give us great gifts. He already wants to do that. That's what he's been trying to convince humanity through time. Let me do great things with you. Let me do great things in you. Let me do great things through you. Now, there will be a cost. And the cost is this. If we allow God to do great things in us, we are going to change. We're going to become more holy. We're going to become more prayerful. We're going to become more human. But still, change is difficult. Even when it's good change. I don't know if any of you have ever studied dysfunctional family systems. But when you help somebody in a dysfunctional family system to start to get healthy, the whole family system that has relied on everybody being in the same dysfunction, because that's become the normal, when somebody gets healthy, they say, you're the problem, because you're getting better. And so that's going to happen to us, the kind of change that God is going to do in us if we allow prayer to open up our hearts to God, really touching our lives, giving us dreams, saying, I'm going to fulfill dreams in you that you didn't even think to dream. It's going to mess up your life, okay? But that's a good thing, okay? It's going to mess up your life in a good way. Think of Joseph and Mary. They had all these dreams. Dreams probably of a quiet life, lots of children. And it's a charming life that they were looking at. And God said, I want to answer your question. I want to answer your doubt, Joseph, by letting you dream a dream you never thought to have ever dreamt, which is that the God who made the universe will become Mary's child. And it will be your job to teach this child how to love God as a human. And the child that you're teaching to love God as a human loves God will also be the child that will be the savior of your soul. That was a dream beyond whatever Joseph ever thought to dream. So as we enter into this real proximate preparation for Christmas, we have to remember that just as we have Joseph as a model of prayer, that Joseph also had Mary as a model of prayer. Because she is the image of Israel, ready and willing to hear God. She's the image of Israel that is the Israel that was faithfully waiting in prayer. And that's how come she could say, "Let it be done to me according to your will." That's why she's the tree topper of our Jesse tree. Of all of everything that God has been doing in the Old Testament is for being fulfilled in what's happening in this moment. So just as God is preparing us for the coming of this Christ child, let's ask God to give us the grace of being a prayerful people, a people of faithful prayer. Because God, once we do that, we can't block God from doing great things in us. It opens us up. It opens us up to hearing what he wants to see. I want to do great things in you, through you, with you. When we dream this way, God can do great things in us.